And welcome back to the program. You're listening to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. I often get so excited about my topics and guests, I forget to tell you who I am. Hopefully you know by now. We've been on evenings in most markets on the Air American Network. Some just take us on the weekends. They're missing four great green shows. And we hope to continue on the network under new ownership and management. We're still fighting that fight. And this segment is about food fighting. And it's written, this book, by one of my favorite authors and activists. He's Daniel Imhoff. He's talking this time about the Farm Bill, among other food issues, policy issues that we should all be a little bit more focused on than we have been, perhaps. It is, of course, essential for life, food, and whether you live to eat or eat to live, we need it, right? So why do we kind of treat it as if it's something out there, it's marginal, it's somehow remote from us, and, you know, it's just for the tractor set and the Willie Nelson crowd. So welcome to the program, Dan, and congratulations on your latest book. It is called Food Fight, The Citizen's Guide to a Food and Farm Bill.
Thanks a lot for having me.
So you're saying that we're not really exercising our rights as citizens as much as we should be. I imagine it's just lack of awareness that we even can.
I think more and more the way our lives have evolved and our food systems have evolved, we have a lot less contact with farmers and the farm community, and I think that people still think that the Farm Bill is something that's really there just to protect struggling family farmers and help them supplement their income rather than this $90 billion federal government-driven engine that just sets so many things in our food and farming system in motion. And really, when you're looking at the benefits are these huge agribusinesses and food processing companies, people that take advantage of high fructose corn syrup and starches and cheap industrial ingredients rather than family farmers that are producing healthy foods for us for our farmers' markets.
And how does the Farm Bill help shape both personal and planetary health, certainly nutritionally, personally, and things like biodiversity? GMO, I imagine, is part of this.
Well, as I said, the average Farm Bill costs about $90 billion per year. What many people don't realize, I think, is that half of every dollar of that $90 billion goes for the food stamp, food nutrition, school lunch program, supplemental nutritional programs. But the other half, the majority of it, goes for commodity crop production, crop assistance, and most of that goes really to just five crops: corn, cotton, wheat, rice, and soybeans. And most of the money goes to the very, very wealthiest operators, and two out of three farmers hardly get anything. So, but what, in effect, the Farm Bill does is it determines what crops, under what conditions, we're growing on about 200 million acres of land. And then, you know, that sets in motion a whole bunch of other things, like how cheap is our food, how diverse is our food, what kinds of farming systems do we have, how much conservation takes place, etc. So this is not a small, obscure piece of legislation. This is the legislation that sets the rules for our food and farming system, and it takes place this year in 2007. And what will get decided in this Farm Bill will affect our food and farming system for the next 5 years.
And does it dictate what foods can be genetically modified or which can't, or is that not in there?
No, not necessarily. But when you're looking at the list there, certainly corn, soybeans, and cotton are three of our biggest genetically modified crops. Rice has just taken a hit. They have lost a big case in California just recently. But, you know, what you see is this huge expansion of GMO crops for corn and soybeans and cotton. What you find, ironically, is a world market. And these crops are being produced in surplus. They're primarily being produced for export. But the world markets don't really want these GMO crops either. And, you know, so what we have now is this huge expansion of biofuels. Since no one wants to buy these feeds, they're really mostly feeds, and they're industrial feed stock rather than food that people eat. And so since nobody wants to buy them, increasingly we're putting them into our gas tanks.
And since you mentioned feed, let's talk about the grain ethanol, which is oh so controversial these days with the gold rush on, as you say, to turn it into fuel. What do you think? What's your position on it?
I can't help but, as an objective observer, really just looking at this, that it's an environmental disaster waiting to happen. Huh. I mean, there are some ironies, but let me just talk about a few things. They're talking about an expansion this year. Remains to be seen as of this interview how much corn we're going to plant, but a 10 to 15% increase in the 80 million acres of corn that we're already producing. And anybody that's studied corn, has read The Omnivore's Dilemma, they realize that this is really one of the most destructive crops that we have. Productive, yes, but highly destructive of the soil. Lots and lots of nutrients that affect aquatic systems. Also lots of GMOs.
You just mentioned the book by Michael Pollan. You were recently at a roundtable discussion at UC Berkeley with him. And I understand that you said you learned a lot at that.
Oh, well, the Farm Bill is a humbling thing to study. And I'm the last to say that I feel like I'm an expert on the Farm Bill. I have written a book about it, and I really approached it from kind of beginner's mind. One of the things that really took me aback, though, was that one out of every three children of this present generation is predicted to end up with diabetes at some point in their life. Mm. And many will end up with diabetes before they're 18. What does this have to do with the Farm Bill? Well, $8 billion of Farm Bill spending goes into our school lunch program. And what we subsidize right now, what we reimburse right now, is a lunch made of chicken nuggets, tater tots, chocolate milk, and canned fruit cocktail.
Complete probably with trans fat and high fructose.
It's basically a diabetes-inducing lunch, and it's a diabetes-inducing food system. And I think, you know, part of what came out of that roundtable, that teach-in, was we have to sharpen our language and be pretty precise about exactly what this Farm Bill produces. And another thing that really shocked me is that nowhere in the Farm Bill really is there very much mention of farm labor. And there are 5 million farm laborers in the country. They do all the hard work. They're exposed directly to the types of farm chemicals that we're using to produce the industrial food. And that's something that really ought to be remedied as well.
Since the Farm Bill will be reauthorized in September, what should we communicate to our elected representatives about that? And what do you think of the new ban on plastic bags in San Francisco? Since your last book was paper or plastic.
I think you need to tell your representatives that this is not a throwaway vote. This vote really matters, and that we need a Farm Bill that's not trying to fix the past ones that don't work anymore. We need one that's responsive to the future and to the future of the youngest generation right now, both in our food and our farming systems. The ban on plastic bags, all I can say is it's just the beginning. If we can't figure out this whole plastic versus paper bag thing as a species, then we're really in trouble. So I'm very, very heartened to see San Francisco take leadership on this.
Well said. I mean, God, if we can't remember our cloth bags and we can't just get recycling down and even out of the discussion already, you know, we are doomed. Thanks for trying to make sure we're not Daniel Imhoff for all your great environmental work as an author, as an activist, and a speaker. I highly recommend his books. Paper or Plastic is one of them. The latest is Food Fight, The Citizen's Guide to Food and Farm Bill. That's it for this edition of Eco Talk. This is where we discuss our environment as if it really mattered. See you next time.